Our goal must be simple. We must have a Christian nation built on God's law, on the Ten Commandments. No apologies.
This ambition to achieve what can only be called a Christian fascist state is entirely typical of the American Taliban. It is an almost exact mirror image of the Islamic fascist state so ardently sought by many people in other parts of the world. Randall Terry is not yet in political power. But no observer of the American political scene at the time of writing, 2006, can afford to be sanguine. A consequentialist or utilitarian is likely to approach the abortion question in a very different way, by trying to weigh up suffering. Does the embryo suffer? Presumably not, if it is aborted before it has a nervous system. And even if it is old enough to have a nervous system, it surely suffers less than, say, an adult cow in a slaughterhouse. Does the pregnant woman or her family suffer if she does not have an abortion? Very possibly so. And in any case, given that the embryo lacks a nervous system, shouldn't the mother's well-developed nervous system have the choice? This is not to deny that a consequentialist might have grounds to oppose abortion. Slippery slope arguments can be framed by consequentialists, though I wouldn't in this case. Maybe embryos don't suffer, but a culture that tolerates the taking of human life risks going too far. Where will it end? In infanticide? The moment of birth provides a natural Rubicon for defining rules, and one could argue that it is hard to find another one earlier in embryonic development. Slippery slope arguments could therefore lead us to give the moment of birth more significance than utilitarianism, narrowly interpreted, would prefer. Arguments against euthanasia too can be framed in slippery slope terms. Let's invent an imaginary quotation from a moral philosopher. If you allow doctors to put terminal patients out of their agony, the next thing you know, everybody will be bumping off their granny to get her money. We philosophers may have grown out of absolutism, but society needs the discipline of absolute rules such as thou shalt not kill, otherwise it doesn't know where to stop. Under some circumstances, absolutism might, for all the wrong reasons in a less than ideal world, have better consequences than naive consequentialism. We philosophers might have a hard time prohibiting the eating of people who are already dead and unmourned, say, roadkill tramps. But for slippery slope reasons, the absolutist taboo against cannibalism is too valuable to lose.
Slippery slope arguments might be seen as a way in which consequentialists can re-import a form of indirect absolutism. But the religious foes of abortion don't bother with slippery slopes. For them, the issue is much simpler. An embryo is a baby. Killing it is murder, and that's that. End of discussion. Much follows from this absolutist stance. For a start, embryonic stem cell research must cease, despite its huge potential for medical science, because it entails the deaths of embryonic cells. The inconsistency is apparent when you reflect that society already accepts IVF, in vitro fertilization, in which doctors routinely stimulate women to produce surplus eggs to be fertilized outside the body. As many as a dozen viable zygotes may be produced, of which two or three are then implanted in the uterus. The expectation is that of these, only one, or possibly two, will survive. IVF, therefore, kills conceptuses at two stages of the procedure, and society in general has no problem with this. For 25 years, IVF has been a standard procedure for bringing joy into the lives of childless couples.
Religious absolutists, however, can have problems with IVF. The Guardian of 3rd of June 2005 carried a bizarre story under the headline, "Christian Couples Answer Call to Save Embryos Left by IVF." The story is about an organisation called Snowflakes, which seeks to rescue surplus embryos left over at IVF clinics.
"We really felt like the Lord was calling us to try to give one of these embryos, these children, a chance to live,"
said a woman in Washington State, whose fourth child resulted from this unexpected alliance that conservative Christians have been forming with the world of test tube babies. Worried about that alliance, her husband had consulted a church elder who advised,
"If you want to free the slaves, you sometimes have to make a deal with the slave trader."
I wonder what these people would say if they knew that the majority of conceived embryos spontaneously abort anyway. it is probably best seen as a kind of natural quality control.